And now, today's word.
I'm preaching a message I've simply titled, Let Us Pray. Let us pray. We're going to look at Jesus Christ at prayer. Our Lord Jesus was a man of prayer. He prayed constantly and consistently, and he never ceased praying. His prayer life compelled his disciples to ask him to teach them to pray. And a few times as you read the Gospels, you read about Jesus praying. But the most profound record of Jesus at prayer is in John's Gospel, chapter 14, when Jesus is recorded praying extensively for a very long time. And it is called the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. It's the prayer he prayed before he goes to the cross. He prays for his disciples. He prays for all of us who will come to faith through the message of the disciples. And it's a very extensive prayer in John chapter 17. Now, I cannot teach all of John chapter 17. I may do a series on it one of these days and just teach on Jesus at prayer based on John chapter 17 and the kinds of things he prays about, the things that are important to him. And it's important for us to observe Jesus in prayer because it helps us to know how to pray and what to pray about. So how do we posture ourselves? How do we position ourselves? What should be the basis of our prayer? So I'm going to look at the first verse of John chapter 17. That's John chapter 17, verse 1, as I talk about, let us pray. And my message is going to be based entirely on John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. It's a very single verse, but in it are very important lessons on prayer that we will be unraveling today. And to help us as we begin our own 40 days of power and as we start praying, to look at Jesus' attitude to prayer and what we can learn and what it teaches us about prayer. So the first thing we notice about prayer when we look at Jesus is the posture for prayer. The posture for prayer. The passage says Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven. People have different postures for prayer. Some kneel, some bow, some stand, some lie down or roll on the floor, some lift up hands, some clasp their hands. But in the passage, it says Jesus lifted up his eyes. That simply means Jesus looked upwards when he started praying. And how important is that? When Jesus looked upward, he was doing something physical. It's a posture. He looked upwards. And we're not told whether his eyes were open or closed, but I will guess that his eyes were open because the passage says he looked upwards. If his eyes were not open, probably the verse would say he turned his face upwards. But it says he looked. Looking requires an activity of the eye. And so it's likely that Jesus had his eyes open, and that does not excuse all of you who were had your eyes open during prayer today. But, you know, it's not really a matter of Christian enforcement whether we open our eyes when we are praying or whether we close our eyes or whether we kneel or whatever posture we have. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven. What does it tell us about prayer and what does it say to us about prayer? Is that prayer is based on a heart that is seeking for God. A heart that is seeking for God. Jesus' posture is saying, my eyes are on you, O Lord. I am looking for you, Heavenly Father. So when we're praying, our posture, not just a physical posture, but the posture of our heart, the attitude of our heart, is that we turn our hearts to seek for God. We are looking for you, O Lord. I need you, O Lord. And that physical action of Jesus is telling us something deeply about our hearts. As we start our 40 days of power, that should be our posture. Lord, my eyes are on you. Lord, I'm looking for you. Lord, I seek for you. Lord, I desire for you. I know that many times when it's 40 days of power, because all of us have issues. Issues. And sometimes we pile them up. January issues, February issues, March issues. We say, we'll meet you 40 days of power. I'm going to deal with you. So by the time it's 40 days of power, we have so many prayer requests, so many things we want to really wrestle with in prayer, that sometimes our eyes are on the problem and not on God. And we must be careful that as much as we have problems, prayer is not about our problems. Prayer starts when our hearts are fixed on the Lord, when we seek the Lord, when our eyes are on the Lord. And that's the first thing we see about Jesus in prayer. The posture of prayer is a heart that is seeking for God. The second thing that the verse teaches us about prayer is the premise of prayer, the basis of prayer. When we pray, what are we standing on? What are we standing on? What is our locus in prayer? What is the premise? And Jesus tells us the premise of prayer. He says, and he said, Father. He begins his prayer by saying, Father. For Jesus, the premise of prayer is Father. Father. Of course, God is almighty. God is the creator. He is the king of the universe. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And we can teach all of that. But Jesus does not say creator of the universe or almighty or great God almighty. He doesn't say all of these big things, but he just says fathers. What does it teach us about prayer? That the premise of prayer is a heart in a personal relationship with God. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, your prayer will be hollow. The premise of God of prayer is a relationship with God. We know him and he knows us. He's not a stranger to us and we're not strangers to him. And that's what we learn about Jesus. He's not talking to somebody powerful. He is powerful. He's not just talking about somebody great. He is great. But he's talking about somebody who has a relationship with him. My Father, my Father. Prayer is premised on a relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, you will shout at God. And many times, our prayers lack relationship. Our prayer seems to be a fight with things. Sometimes we seem to be so engrossed with a situation changing that we don't know that prayer is an intimate relationship. And if that relationship is not there, then nothing will get done. Because after all, when I'm praying, I'm not saying that I can solve the problems. I'm saying God can solve the problems. But what is my relationship with God for me to trust him to solve the problems? There has to be a relationship. There has to be a relationship. And these days, I feel that a lot of prayer is not relational. You know, sometimes I hear people say, we're going to pray in some mighty tongues. We're going to pray dangerous tongues. What is that? What is dangerous tongues? I mean, you think your tongues are powerful enough to solve your problems? Without God as your father, you think your prayer is powerful, that you can stomp your feet strong enough to break the powers of darkness, your feet. You think the sound of your voice is so strong that when you shout, Satan will run away? No. It's because of who God is, because of his grace, his mercy, his ability, his love. That's how miracles happen, on God as the premise of our prayer. And that's what Jesus is saying. This is to you, Father. And you are the one going to deal with everything I'm going to talk about. So the posture of prayer, our heart is towards God. The premise of prayer, we have a relationship with God. That's the second thing we learn about Jesus in this prayer. The third one is the purpose for prayer. Jesus starts his prayer and he says, the hour has come. For Jesus, it meant the time God has set on his divine agenda for him to die and to resurrect has come. The hour has come. That's an unusual way of praying. The hour has come. Like when you read the Bible, you find that the life of Jesus was devoted to doing the will of the Father. In John chapter 4, verse 34, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. The purpose of prayer. And what is that? It is a heart that discerns the will of God. We're not praying simply because it's 40 days of power, but we're praying because we believe God is doing something and we want to be part of it. God is at work and we want to be in the flow with him. A heart that discerns the will of God. The hour has come. There is an agenda of God that we want to be part of. God is doing something in the world today, and we say, Lord, we want to be part of it. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us, and he says, when you pray, you say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So prayer really is not about your will being done. It's about God's will being done. The hour has come. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is your time, Lord. This is something you want to do. Do you know God loves you more than you love yourself? How many of you really believe that? You believe God really loves you more than you love yourself? He loves you more than you love yourself. Do you know that God is more concerned about you and your welfare than you will ever be concerned about yourself? That means that there is nothing you are concerned about that God is passive about. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about me. And his will is what we are desiring in prayer. When we come and we say it's 40 days of power, yes, we'll be decreeing things and we'll be making things and we'll be saying things, but all of that has to be in line with the will of God. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, when you look at that verse superficially, it means that, oh, God is going to do everything that I desire if I delight in him. That's a superficial way of looking at things. But the real way of looking at it is that the more I delight in the Lord, the more his desires become my desire. The more I desire in the Lord, the more his will becomes my desire. So in the end, what I'm going to pray for is not selfishly what I want. What I'm praying for is what I discern God wants for my life. Is there something God wants for your life that you don't want for your life? Yes. For all of us, there are things God wants for us that we don't want. We don't want it. So we pray around it. And whilst you're praying, you know what God wants for you, but you don't want it. And you think that if you can pray and fast well enough, you can bypass God's will for some reason. And God will not see that you bypass his will because he's so impressed with your prayer. They say, she, my child, can pray. Oh. Then he forgets his will and starts admiring your prayer. No, mom. No, dad. No, sir. You cannot pray outside of God's will. When we watch Jesus at prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he just realizes, I don't want it. That's not what I wish for, but that's God's will. The hour has come. Father, let this cup pass over me. That's what I want, but I already know what your will is. Nevertheless, let your will be done. You know, when we learn to pray, thy will be done, a lot of anxiety will leave our hearts. If you can trust God with your tomorrow, you will not be anxious about tomorrow. But many times we want to solve it ourselves. God, if you don't do this by tomorrow evening, I won't worship you again. It's a pure mistrust of God. Why don't you say, Lord, I want it by tomorrow evening, but your will be done. I want it by tomorrow evening, but your will be done. Do you trust that when his will is done in your life, it will be good for you? I've said it many times, one of the hymns that I used to struggle to pray for was, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my life and let it be. And there's a point where it says, take my hands, take my legs. And any time I got to that verse, I never sang it. I never, for some reason, I couldn't trust God with my hands and my legs. Because something told me, what if I say, Lord, take my hand, and he literally takes my hand? Lord, take my leg, and he literally takes my leg. So I want him to do something, but I can't trust him with my life. I can't trust God. I can't trust God with my legs. And so I would rather pray and protect my own legs than trust God for my legs and my hands. You know, and many times in our prayer, we don't trust God. We don't trust God to take care of business. We don't trust God and say, Lord, let your will be done. Whichever way you take it, I trust you that it is good for me. And however it turns out, I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor. And that's what Jesus is saying, discerning the will of the Father. That's the purpose of prayer. Father, the hour has come. And it wasn't a pleasant hour. But I know this is God's hour. This is God's moment. This is what God is doing in my life. God has not promised to solve all your problems instantly because you prayed hard enough. The only thing he has guaranteed you is that he will let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the more we know the will of God, the easier prayer is for us. Because if prayer is you driving your own agenda, you will always be frustrated. I'll be frustrated, we'll be frustrated. So that's the third thing we learn about Jesus at prayer in John chapter 17, verse 1. The hour has come. The purpose of prayer is that our hearts will discern the will of God. The fourth thing we learn from that verse is the plea of prayer. What are we asking for? What are we praying for? When we pray, what do we want God to do? What are we pleading for? What is our petition? Jesus said, glorify your Son. Lord, glorify yourself in my life. The plea of prayer is a heart that yearns for God's glory. Many times we think that plea of prayer is for God to do what we ask him to do. And yes, he says we should call upon him. But really, what we are asking for is, Lord, glorify your name. And that's what Jesus is praying. Lord, Father, glorify your Son. Glorify whatever way you would do it that will bring glory to you, do it. Wouldn't it be great in 40 days of power, we're so fixed on God's glory that we want God to show his glory. And yes, God can show his glory by taking you from defeat into victory. God can show his glory by opening the Red Sea so that you walk upon dry ground. God can show his glory by shutting the mouth of lions so that although you are living in a den of lions, they can't attack you and they can't hurt you. God can show you his glory by healing your body. God can show you his glory by supplying all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. God can show you his glory in so many ways. And that's what we're praying. Lord, whatever happens, let it be to your glory. We want a testimony in our lives where the glory does not come to us. Do you want a glory where everybody looks at you and say, hey, this man, hey, he can pray, oh, he can pray, hey, the way he prayed, hey, he can pray. And all the glory is to your prayer life. Jesus says, I don't want my prayer life to be glorified. I want all the glory to be God. Glorify your Son. And I believe that in these 40 days, God will glorify his children. God will glorify you. He will do things in your life that will point to his glory. He will do amazing things for you, in your family, in your finances. There are things that are outstanding that will be resolved. There are things that you've been waiting for that will come to pass. There are things that you have trusted God for that will be manifested. But all of that is because God wants to glorify himself, glorify you. He wants to do something to show forth his glory in your life. And may God show his glory in our lives. I don't know about you, but I am expecting God in the next 40 days of power as we pray that God will glorify Mensah Otabel, and God will glorify Kwame Atta, and God will glorify who again? Mami Atta. Whatever your name is, part of our prayer this 40 days of power is for you to say, Lord, glorify your Son. Lord, glorify your daughter. That glorify my life. Glorify my story. Glorify whatever you would do that will point to your glory in my life. Do it. And when we live it, God knows how to showcase his glory. And he does it beautifully. And there will be many testimonies. There will be abundant testimonies. There will be stories of victory. There will be stories of triumph. There will be stories of favor. There will be stories of a turnaround. There will be stories of the impossible becoming possible. Ah, yes, it's going to happen. There will be stories and testimonies because God is going to show forth his glory. And that's what Jesus was praying for. Now, if you look at Jesus at prayer, he knew he was going to die. And he's going to pray. And he's going to die. And people are going to think that's his defeat. But he also knew he was going to resurrect. So this prayer was not just for his death, but for the resurrection. That, Lord, when they think I'm finished, glorify yourself. When they think this is the end, I've been crucified, show forth your glory. There is coming a resurrection of God's people. There is coming a lifting up of God's people. There is coming a turnaround of your story. There is coming a change of your story. There is coming a new narrative about you. Glorify your Son. May the Lord glorify you. May the Lord glorify himself in your life. And the final thing we learn about Jesus in prayer is promise after answered prayer. After God has answered your prayer, what do you promise? And Jesus said, that your Son may glorify you. That your Son may glorify. This is the promise we make to God as a response to his answer to our prayer. A heart that desires to honor God. God has done it for you. He has glorified you. You must honor him. You know, many times we draw close to God in prayer. Lord, glorify your Son. Lord, do it. Lord, open the door. Lord, do that. And then we pray. And then God does it. And we turn around and go back. There are many people sitting here today who have made promises to God they haven't fulfilled. I'll say it again. You acted like you didn't hear that. I said, there are many people sitting here today who have made promises to God they haven't fulfilled. You owe God big time. Because you told him, Lord, if you do this for me, I will do that. And he did this, and you didn't do that. Jesus says, that your Son may glorify you. The reason why we say, Lord, glorify your name in my life is because I also want to do something to honor you. I also want to do something to honor you. What is the thing you promised to do to honor God that you haven't done? It's so easy for people to make promises to God and never fulfill. And then still go to him another time for a miracle. So in these 40 days of power as we pray, you're also going to make a promise to God. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Lord, do this for me so I will honor you. I will testify of you. I will declare your praise. I will win a soul to you. I will never be quiet about this testimony. Some of you said, oh, if God do this, does this for me, I will testify, the whole world will hear. Nobody has heard what he did for you. He said, if God does this for me, I will broadcast his name. You haven't. You haven't even whispered his name. If God did this for me, I will draw souls to him. Nobody has been drawn to the Lord as a result of what God did for you. So he has glorified you, but you haven't glorified him. He has blessed you, but you haven't honored him. So there is a promise we make after prayer, that your Son may glorify you. A heart that desires to honor God. And those are the five things we learn from Jesus as he begins that momentous prayer in John chapter 17 and prays about some very powerful and profound things. But we learn a lot of things about him, about his posture. We learn about the premise. We learn about the plea. We learn about the purpose. We learn about the promise. So, as we start our 40 days of prayer, let us pray guided by Jesus Christ, because he is our Lord and he is our Savior. And the greatest prayer we can pray is to be praying like Jesus, to learn from him and to pray the right way. We want to just spend a minute or two praying this morning as we get ready for 40 days of power. I want you to be guided by this. And what do you want God to do in your life? And what would you do for the Lord if he does it for you? Let's talk to the Lord. Let's pray. Stand up for a minute or two as we pray and as we seek the face of the Lord. Maybe you would also lift up your eyes to the Lord, or you lift up your hands to the Lord, but whatever posture, your posture should say, Lord, my eyes are on you. I trust in you. I look up to you. Just let the Lord know that your eyes are on him, your heart is fixed on him. He's going to be your driving force throughout these 40 days of power. My eyes are on you, O Lord. My heart is fixed on you, Lord. Let your posture be a heart that is seeking for God. Just pray and talk to the Lord. He's the premise of your prayer. Thank Him for the relationship you have with Him, that He's your Father. And thank Him for His will for your life, which He is going to manifest in these days. And ask Him to glorify His name in your life. Glorify His name in your situation. Whatever situation you are going through, God will glorify His name.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter @MensahOtebe. Email